Welcome to Sisters and Sages. I'm your host, Laura, teacher of Ayurveda, Jyotish, and yoga, and it's my mission to show the world to itself. In these podcasts, we are sharing close-up and personal conversations with enlightening teachers, scrumptious sisters, and inspiring sages in order to share with you their divine inspiration, the power of soul connection, and the beauty that is everywhere, all around, all the time. Hey, welcome. I've got a great surprise for you today. We've got Melissa Ambrosini in the house. Woo-hoo! Actually, all the way from Noosa, Australia. Mm-hmm. Right? Melissa is a two-time author of the best-selling books, Mastering Your Mean Girl and Open Wide.
Yeah.
Wow, we're going to talk about that. She's also a life coach, transformational life coach, working with women to empower them to live their very best lives. And there's the tag, health, wealth, and love.
Yeah.
So you gotta listen to her podcast if you haven't already. She's a number one podcaster with the Melissa Ambrosini Show, which is great. I like to listen to it a lot. It doesn't feel like you've come from so far or that it's been so long.
I know.
Which I love.
Yeah.
What's the magic?
Yeah, I think that's when you really found true soul family, is when you come together and it just feels so easy.
Yeah.
And like it's always been.
True. But it's part of your magic.
Mm.
You do that.
Oh,
I think so.
Thank
yeah.
you.
So I have a question for you. This is the number one question. Mm-hmm. What'd you have for breakfast? Listeners to the podcast will get the joke.
Yes. So this morning I had some organic blueberries. I usually have a cup of organic blueberries every morning. Mm. And I heat them up on the stove because Ayurvedically, cold foods for me don't really agree with me that much, so I warm them up, and then I usually use like an organic vegan protein and some hemp seeds. And today we're traveling at the moment, so usually at home I would have like a green smoothie, not ice cold, like a warm green smoothie with avocado and
Beautiful.
Cucumber and lettuce and protein and everything. And so, yeah, I just kind of had this warm, beautiful, delicious bowl of blueberries and hemp seeds and vegan protein powder, and it was so good.
Sounds so enlivening, so alive and enlivening.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And then I understand you went and did something special.
And then we came and met you.
Walk on the beach, didn't
you? Oh, yes. Yeah. And then I went for a walk. I was like, that was special. And then I went for an hour walk along the beach. Something that I try and do every day is a minimum hour walk in nature on the beach, ideally. And I try and get in my 10,000 steps a day. Mm. So a minimum hour, I think. As a writer, I do a lot of this, and podcaster, and I do a lot of talking into the microphone, so I'm sitting, and it's so important just to move our body as much as possible.
So we're going to talk about the podcast, books, whatever you'd like to talk about, and some steps, things people can do, practical things. But before we get there, I'd like to get more of a sense of who you are. So what or who inspires you?
So many people inspire me. You inspire me, and you've been such big mentors for Nick and I on our journey. You guys are living examples of what it means to embody love, and you're such beautiful examples of that. So you guys inspire me. My husband inspires me so much. So many of my friends who are just doing great things in the world, and really embodying what they believe.
Nice.
Even if they're not doing big things, you know, even just who they're showing up. Like, you know, some of my friends are just the best mums in the world, and they inspire me. Mm. So I have inspiration all around me, and then I have inspiration in my mentors from my books. You know, all of the teachers and the spiritual leaders that I read, they're all big teachers and inspirations for me. And then Mama Nature, huge inspiration.
Right.
You know, she is the ultimate. She doesn't try to be perfect.
Yeah.
She doesn't try to be beautiful. Mm. She just is. Mm. And for me, connecting with Mother Nature is so healing and so inspiring. And that's why I'm constantly trying to get into the ocean or get into nature every single day, because it just brings me back home. Mm.
Beautiful. So, you know the term dharma, right? So this idea of
living our dharma is to live authentically and to live our purpose. So Sva Dharma is living your essence, the dharma of your essence, Sva. And there's one beautiful term that says Sva Dharma is the essence of the thing without which it would not be that thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what is that in you, do you think? What is it that the essence of you without which you would not be Melissa Ambrosini?
This is a big question. I don't know, what's coming to me is like love.
Mm.
Without that, I wouldn't be me.
Mm.
And it's something that I'm constantly trying to come back to whenever I feel myself go off the path of love, making choices out of fear instead of love.
Mm.
That's my compass. I'm like, oh, okay, come on back, get back on that path. And I'm constantly using that as my compass to live my life, to make all of my life decisions, my business decisions. It always comes back to that. That's my guiding light.
What if someone cynical were watching and said, yeah, but can you really run a business from love? What would you say to that?
Yes. Yes, you truly can. But I mean, I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it. I had no idea until I started to live it. And now I believe that every decision can be made from love or fear. Every decision, from the food you choose. Are you choosing that out of love for your body and wanting to nourish your temple? Or are you choosing it because you think you should? The people you surround yourself with, you know, is that because you would love to, or because you think you should hang out with them, or, you know, maybe you've been friends with them for so long that, you know, there's that obligation.
Yeah.
The work that you do in the world, is it something that you feel inspired to do? Or again, is it something that you feel like you should be doing? So I had no idea of this concept of choosing love instead of fear. It is a very simple concept, but us humans complicate it so much. And if you break every decision down in your day, they are either from love or fear. From how you speak to someone, how you interact with the lady at the post office, every decision, the way that you look at yourself in the mirror, the clothes that you choose to wear in your daily life when you wake up and have a shower, are you choosing that because you feel great inside, or are you putting on something that, you know, maybe some inner mean girl talk was going on when you were choosing what you're going to wear? Like, every decision comes down to love or fear. And when you become aware of that, you'll be guided more down that path. The more and more you choose it, it's like a muscle. And the more you practice choosing it, the easier it becomes. But it's a path, it's a journey. I'm still doing it every day. I'm still here.
Yeah, thank God you're still here.
Yes.
Lighting up the world. So you do a lot of work with women. What do you see as most often would be their challenges?
This. That's why I wrote my whole first book, Mastering Your Inner Mean Girl. And when I say inner mean girl, it's this voice inside your head that says, you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not skinny enough, you're not successful enough, you'll never meet the guy. Who do you think you are? You can't write a book, etc. That is the biggest block I see with women. And we all have it. Men too. Absolutely. Men do too. I think women have between 60 and 80,000 thoughts a day, and men have around 40,000. So we've got a lot more going on up there.
Wow.
Yeah, we got a lot more. And I think the sooner you learn how to master that voice and come back to love, because this is fear. Your ego is that fear-based limiting voice inside your head. It's not the truth of who you are. The truth of who you are is love. And a lot of us are living from that voice and letting that be in the driver's seat of our life. Mm-hmm. That's making all the big decisions. Mm-hmm. But we need to master that, come back into here and let this lead. Mm-hmm. Let this be the guide for every choice that we make in our life. Mm-hmm. And when you do, it's so much more rewarding. Mm-hmm. So after all of the women that I've worked with over the past 8 years, that's the biggest block is themselves. Mm-hmm. And once they learn how to master that and come back into their heart, it's like miracles. Mm. Miracles. Mm-hmm. It's just happening all around them. Mm-hmm. But it's because they're dropping back into their truth.
Right.
And they become a magnet mm-hmm. for all of this greatness.
Right.
Yeah.
How would you teach people to go from here to here?
I have a little 3-step process. Mm-hmm. It's a little Mastering Your Mean Girl 3-step process that anyone can do. So anyone watching can do this at home. Mm-hmm. And Mastering Your Mean Girl is like going to the gym to do your bicep curls. The more you do that, the stronger that muscle is going to get. Mm-hmm. So the first step is, with any sort of transformation, is awareness. Hmm. You have to become aware of what is going on and become aware of the thoughts that she's saying to you. And for some people, it might be around their health. Some people, it might be around their career or whatever. Usually there's maybe one thing that's the most, she creates the most noise around. Hmm. So awareness is the first step. The second step is we gently close the door on that thought. And, you know, some spiritual texts and teachers talk about like killing the ego and smashing the ego and banishing the ego. It's not about that. Use it as a guide to come back to your true path. And that's what I do. Mm. I use it as an opportunity to go, oh, I've gone off path. And I'm going to come back on path. Mm. So I just, when she comes knocking on my mental door to plant these fear-based beliefs and self-doubt, I'm just like, thank you, but no thank you. I'm not interested today. It's like, imagine it like an annoying salesperson who comes like knocking on your door and they're like trying to sell you Tupperware or like something that you have no interest in whatsoever. Mm. And they want to give you this big 45-minute spiel on this latest Tupperware. You're like, thank you so much, but I'm so not interested. Thank you, but good luck. Mm. You know, that's what you kind of got to do to your mean girls. Like, thank you, but no thank you. Mm. And then the third step is you choose love instead. Mm. So the first step is awareness. Second step is we gently close the door. And then the third step is you choose love instead. Mm. So instead of going down that fear route, we're going to come back into our heart and go, no, this is what love would choose. This is what love would do. Mm. So it's a very simple 3-step process. But depending how loud your inner mean girl is, it might feel quite challenging. And the more and more you practice this, the easier it gets. Mm.
Mm-hmm. But I have so many questions now. For instance, it seems like personifying it as a mean girl, that already seems like a help. How did you come up with that? Just to talk to it like you're in a relationship with it, these thoughts.
Mm. So a lot of people call the ego the inner critic or the shadow self. There's so many different names. For me, it just came to me one day because mine was really, really mean. Mm. The things that she was saying to me was, and I was like, she is a mean girl. And that's just how it came. And some people like to give theirs a nickname, you know, and the thing is, a lot of people think they have multiple voices in their head. I don't think that. My personal opinion is we have one and it's our mean girl or fear or whatever you want to call it. The other voice is your intuition, but that sometimes doesn't necessarily speak to you in words. It's more of a feeling. Mm. You know, it's like when someone says, oh, why did you book a trip to India? And you're like, I don't know, I just had to. Like my intuition was just like pulling me. And you can't necessarily describe it. That's the place that I wanna live from, that intuition, that space. So there's only two. You know, the head up there that's saying you can't do this, and then your intuition. So we want to listen and feel into that feeling more and follow that.
Great, because that was my next question. How do you choose love? Easy, like you said, once you've been doing the muscle and lifting weights for a while, it may come naturally. But when you're going from, okay, it's the mean girl, I'm closing the door, and you're going to choose love, what's the technique?
I take myself through, sometimes I help writing it down. I take myself through that three-step process, and sometimes writing it down really helps me. So my mean girl is currently telling me that no one's going to buy my book. My mean girl is going to tell me that, my mean girl is currently telling me that my podcast is going to flop. Whatever it is for you. And then I look at that and I almost have a little laugh because I think it's very funny, the things that she says. And then I close the door on that, and then I choose love instead. So I reframe it. I reframe the sentence in a loving way. So whether it's around my books, you know, my book, Mastering Your Mean Girl, is going to inspire and get into the hands of the exact people that it needs to get into the hands of. And it's going to make such a huge impact in their life. You know, so I'll reframe it. So that's how I do it. Writing it down really helps, just on a piece of paper or a journal. That helps for me. But fear and love feel different. They feel different. Fear feels tight, constricted. You know, you might feel like tense in your body. Love feels expansive, like your shoulders are back, your body feels, it's almost like all of your cells just go, and there's more space around the circumference of your cells. But when we are choosing fear, everything kind of clamps up. And so for me, it's tuning into my body, like, how does my body feel right now? And I'm all about leaning more to what makes me feel good and walking away from what doesn't.
Right, that makes sense. So it feels like sometimes you're choosing positivity, sometimes you're choosing power. Like, that's very empowering to say, no, my book is going to get to who it needs to, and it's going to help. So it's not necessarily that we're using loving language all the time. Does that make sense? But we're choosing words that feel good.
Totally. And if that is loving language.
Yeah.
And being, you know, being kind to yourself. Self-awareness and being kind to yourself is so important. It's something that I learned later in life. I wasn't taught to be kind to myself. No one said, be your own best friend, you know, love yourself. From a young age, I really, something that I had to learn and cultivate within myself. But ultimately, when, if we want to be kind to others, we've got to start with ourselves. Like, being so kind, speaking to ourselves kindly. Being kind to ourselves means mastering that mean girl inside our head. And coming back to love.
And that's why I'm parsing it a little bit, because I think a lot of women love to the point of depletion. So some women might, some people might think choosing love is choosing the other, or choosing, and that could be self-abandoning. How would you make the distinction? Is there also a feeling?
Oh yeah. That's the whole people pleasing, you know, and we disguise it as love. I'm being loving, and I'm going to put this person first, and I'm going to do this at the detriment of my own health and happiness. See, that's how my mom lives her life, is just putting everybody else first. You know, she is a beautiful woman, but people-pleasing constantly. And I don't think, I think it's more like not even realizing, not even realizing it. But when we are truly, love doesn't have to look a certain way. When we are saying no to someone else, but yes to ourselves, that can be love. And it comes back to the feeling. If it's an absolute hell yeah to do that for that person, or and say yes to that person, then go ahead and do it, but not at the detriment of your own health and happiness. Because mm-hmm. without our own health and happiness, we don't have anything.
Yeah. Mm. Beautiful. All right, so what is juicy in your life right now?
Oh, gosh. Definitely, well, we're traveling at the moment, and we're here in America, which is so fun and juicy and exciting, and connecting with all these beautiful people that we're meeting. Travel is amazing. It's expansive. It forces you to get out of your comfort zone. Mm. You have to practice surrender and letting go and trust. Mm-hmm. So all of these beautiful lessons that you get to practice when you travel, that's really juicy. My third book just downloaded recently.
Really?
Yeah.
Which you'll let us in on the secret?
No, you'll have to wait. Can't tell.
Wow.
Which is
barely have open wide off the press.
I know.
It's about 8, 9 months now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, but I finished writing it so long ago, mm-hmm. as you know. Mm. So, it feels ready. Mm. So that's really exciting. The podcast is really juicy and exciting. I've got some more amazing guests coming on, which I'm just loving. I love doing the podcast because I just get to pick all of my favorite people all over the world, like you and Bava, and interview you. It's like, that's work. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. All right.
And you're so good at it.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much. And my relationship with Nick, that's juicy. Mm. We're always... The beautiful thing, as you'll know, being in a conscious partnership is both people are so willing to do the work and show up and take responsibility, and that means that you can grow together. Mm. I think I see quite often relationships where one person is doing the work and the other doesn't want to or isn't, and that's challenging. Mm-hmm. That's challenging. Yeah. And I feel for those people. And sometimes then they do start growing together, and sometimes the relationship dissolves. Mm. But I'm so grateful that Nick is so willing and eager to constantly grow and learn and evolve, and we are together, him on his own, me on my own, and then together as a couple. Mm. And as we were talking about, we're just renovating our home. There's so many juicy things.
Much going on.
So many fun things.
How do you do it all? What's the trick?
Organization. So I share a calendar with my husband and my whole team. And if it's in the calendar, I just follow the calendar. Mm. You know, okay, I've got this interview. I've got this. That for me is, I'm very organized. I think if it's all in the calendar, I'm good. But it's when things are like on a piece of paper written down over there or in my head, or I've got that meeting or that just causes stress and overwhelm. But if it's all in my calendar, my whole team have my calendar, they can add meetings and interviews and things like that, and we're good to go.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So organized.
Organization. And Nick has actually done a couple of podcasts on organization and productivity.
Great.
And I've done a few. I had an amazing guy called David Allen. He wrote a book, a New York Times bestselling book called Getting Things Done. Mm. And it's a productivity method. Mm. And we read that years ago, and then we followed and implemented his productivity hacks and his method. And that's really helped.
Nice. Okay, getting things done.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side of getting things done, how do you relax? How do you induce productive rest and sleep?
I have to schedule it in. I'm not excellent at this. It's my pitta, you know, overachieving Aries, go. But I'm getting really, I've gotten really good at creating white space in my life. So I will leave massive chunks. And I used to book interviews, this, and everything in my calendar. And I've gotten really good at leaving, and my team know, like self-love time, do not book anything in that time. Mm-hmm. And I go and do things off my self-love menu. I call it my self-love menu, and maybe that's going to the beach or going to the park and just reading or going for a swim or a walk, but I'm really getting good at, well, I'm trying, is just literally doing nothing. So like laying on the couch and doing nothing. Mm. Like not laying on the couch and scrolling on my phone, yeah. not laying on the couch and reading, not laying on the couch and even watching it. It's just laying on the couch.
Nice.
And I'm working on it.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. Self-love menu, by the way, is on your website, right?
Yes, and it's in my, well, it's in my first book, That's Mastering Your Mingle. Right. Yes, right. And you can get it in my Mastering Your Mingle online program as well.
Gotcha. And speaking of your first book, what about your second book, Open Wide?
Yes.
Why did you write it? What's that next evolution?
So Mastering Your Mingle is really about the inward journey and really about mastering that voice inside your head so that you can be the best version of yourself so you can show up in the world as the best you. And Open Wide, a radically real guide to deep love, rocking relationships, and soulful sex is really about your relationships. We're not born into the world with a relationship manual. I didn't get one when I first came out of the womb. Don't know about you, but I didn't. And the way we learn is by watching our parents. And sometimes if you win the gene lottery, that's a great example. Other times, maybe not. And so we fumble through these relationships and we try and learn how to navigate our way through. Ultimately, in Open Wide, the whole first section is about the most important relationship of all, and that's the one with yourself.
Yeah.
Because we need to cultivate a beautiful relationship with ourselves. Before we go out there and give to everybody else. And then, the second half of the book is really about cultivating these beautiful relationships with your friends and your family and ultimately your beloved. And I give lots of tips and tricks and tools on how I've done it with my husband. And I share lots of stories and examples. One of my favorite tools in the book is called CCC, Crystal Clear Communication. And this has been a game changer in my relationship because I think a lot of us women think our men can read our mind. They can't.
Especially because they're having, 40,000, you're having 60,000, so there's at least that 20,000 thought gap.
Totally. And I'm like, but can't you read my mind by now? And he's like, no, I can't. I'm like, really? I think, we forget that they can't read our mind.
Because you think that your brain is like made of glass.
Yeah. Can't you see I'm angry? Can't you see I wanted you to do the dishes when I should have just practiced crystal clear communication and asked him nicely to do the dishes? So crystal clear communication is speaking to your beloved or your children or anyone from your heart. Clearly and concisely and lovingly. And it's an art. And sometimes I don't do it very well. And sometimes I'm really good at it. And it's, again, a muscle. The more you practice it, the easier it gets and the more it becomes embedded. Nick and I are always saying, I need to practice crystal clear communication with you around this. And that's how we now speak to each other, which is so, so nice.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So that's probably one of the biggest game changers I hear from the book. Lots of people say that that's the feedback that I've had is that that's been a game changer.
I've heard lots of feedback from so many women who've absolutely loved the book. I think you give people permission to be more them and more expansively themselves. I don't know, to blossom truly. And I think what's beautiful about you is that I think a lot of people looking at you, I don't know about you, but I certainly think a lot of people looking at you would think, wow, she's got it all. And yet you share these vulnerabilities or you share these lessons as you're learning them so openly, so honestly, that we're all in this together. Mm-hmm. We're all learning and growing.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever it might look like.
On the outside. You're here on earth. Your feet are on earth. You're here learning and growing. No one is exempt from it. It's not in, if I was enlightened, I would be levitating off this seat. I'd be levitating out of here.
Yeah.
But I've still got lessons to learn. That's why I'm here. I'm not perfect. My relationship isn't perfect, whatever that even means. Don't strive for that. You know, I always say to my tribe, please don't, like, eliminate perfect and perfection from your vocabulary, or, you know, redefine it. Mm-hmm. What does that mean to you? Because your definition of a perfect relationship may look very different to mine, mm-hmm. and that's okay. Mm-hmm. It's all good.
Yeah.
So let go of, like, trying to have a relationship a certain way or look a certain way, and just stay true to you. Mm-hmm. Stay true to whatever feels good for you, mm-hmm. and don't try and compare yourself to anyone else, whether mm-hmm. their relationship or themselves. It's got to come back to you.
So beautiful. What nourishes you?
So much. This deep, soulful connections, mm-hmm. chats. Like, yeah. I love this. One of my favorite things is just sharing beautiful, organic, delicious food around a table with people I love, which we got to do today, which is so good, at Cafe Gratitude. So good. That, you know, me being in the kitchen preparing with love and then getting to do that, that nourishes me. Being in nature, diving in the ocean, yoga, meditation, time with my husband, play with Leo and Nick. Yeah, beautiful adventures. Mainly that. They're my favorites.
Yeah. We were talking today at lunch about prioritizing play.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a beautiful message, isn't it?
Yeah. Because I think the older we get, we forget.
Yeah.
And we get so serious, mm-hmm. and we forget to play, and we stop playing. That's why we were saying at lunch, Nick and I started in January dance classes. We started ballroom and Latin dancing. He's never danced before in his life. I used to be an ex-dancer. So for me, it's just innate within me, but he's never danced. And we'd been saying it every New Year's, for like the past 4 years. We're like, we're going to start ballroom. And then it got to this New Year's and I was like, right, I'm just picking up the phone. I just Googled Bondi ballroom dancing, and this first place came up and I was like, we're coming in, can we come in and have a lesson? And we just did it, and we have been doing it for 10 months now, and we learn like the three Latin, three ballroom, and we have so much fun. But it's also funny, like, how it's a reflection of, if I'm in a like agitated mood and then we go to dance, it's heightened.
Yeah.
Like, we won't flow. We won't flow as well.
You can feel it. Isn't
beautiful?
So the partner's mirroring.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, beautiful.
Yeah. And it's really fun to take time out of our day. Mm-hmm. And then, like, we usually go at 3 o'clock or 3:30 in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And to gift ourselves that, to take time out of our week and go, and our days, and go in dance class.
That's it.
Yeah, people are like, but don't you have so much to do? And I'm like, yeah, but that's so important.
Yeah, we got to prioritize play, mm-hmm. and we have to prioritize dance. Did you know that of all the exercises you could do, that's the best for your brain?
Yes.
You want to keep your brain strong throughout your life? Dance.
It's so good. Maybe we should have a kitchen dance.
Maybe we should.
Yeah, later.
We're dancing.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we'll actually throw it up on IG and we can dance with our friends.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, you can join us.
It is, something happens to your soul and your cells. Like, I feel all of my cells turn on and I just feel so alive.
It comes rising, it's beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
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 Me too, I was a ballerina.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't go as far as you did with the dance, but it's there.
Yeah.
I love dancing.
Oh, it's the best.
So just as we move towards finishing, any messages that you'd like to share? Any message for the world, any message for our viewers, our beloveds, our beautiful ones?
I think one of the biggest things for myself is, there was a time in my life where I thought God, or whatever you believe in, was punishing me.
Mm.
Like, I felt like my life was so hard and I was in so much inner pain and suffering that I was thinking, well, what is the point? Mm. Why am I here? Why is God punishing me? And I want to remind everyone that you didn't come here to suffer.
Mm.
That God, the universe, whatever you believe in, didn't put you here to suffer. You are here to unlock your full potential, be the best and shiniest version of yourself, whatever that looks like for you, and to grow and evolve and to experience the full spectrum of color that this life school or life university has in store for us. And it's an amazing opportunity for growth. And just remember that you didn't come here to suffer, here to unlock the full potential of yourself.
You know, through Jyotish, I am able to see that people are the coming alive of the pattern of light and energy that is the cosmos at the moment of their birth. It's that, those stars, those planets, that radiant intelligence. And that we are not here to suffer, but more than that, we are here to be the coming alive of that light, that power. And you have so beautifully come alive, living that full potential, as you describe, really in unfolding your beauty and your power and your intelligence. And it's such a beautiful example for all, I think.
Thank you.
It's beautiful to be able to stand in that truth.
Thank you so much.
To not curl, to not shy from it, but just to stand wide open, heart wide open, and show people how they can live too.
Yeah.
To have that same magnificence.
Yeah, because we all do.
Yeah.
Everybody. Everybody does, and we all can.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
Anything you'd like to share?
I'm so grateful
to
have this conversation. I'm so grateful. And at Cafe Gratitude, they said, what is most important to you? And I shared that one of the most important things to me is love and connection. And I'm just so grateful to have connected with you so many years ago and to feel that, like to feel when you come in someone's presence and you're in someone's presence and to feel like it's so effortless.
Yeah.
And like it's always been.
Yeah.
That's soul connection.
Yeah.
And I'm just so grateful to experience that so often these days. And I never had that. I never ever had that in my 20s and below that. But I'm just so grateful that that is now my normal. And I must be doing something right.
You're doing a lot right, girl. You are doing so much right. All right, we're going to check it out, melissaambrosini.com. Check out our podcast, The Melissa Ambrosini Show, wherever you can find podcasts. I think it's everywhere now, right?
Yes.
And anything else?
That's it. Thank you for watching.
Book, and stay tuned for the third drop.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you
so much.